We now are in the day of life. Praise be to God. Much gospel work is being carried forward in our time. There is considerable chaos and confusion as the fish are subjected to the teachings of one group and then of another. Some are entertaining the fish. Others are warning them of the wrath to come. In view of the multitude of competing Christian groups, it is marvelous that as many people are being saved as the statistics indicate. But thank God for everyone and every worker. There is a return today to the concept of discipleship. This will result in worldwide evangelism on an unprecedented scale, because it is the concept set forth by the Lord Jesus Christ in the Great Commission of Matthew chapter 28. In mentioning the concept of discipleship, we are not referring to the structuring of the believers such that there is a hierarchy which governs the actions of the Christian people. Rather, we are speaking of diligent, disciplined Christians who communicate to faithful students the ways of Christ, and then those students pass on to other people that same cross-carrying obedience which was inculcated in them. But something else is true today. It is the awesome realization that we now are entering into one of those periods of transition which bring mankind from one creative day to the next. This means that we can expect much preparatory work, chaos, confusion, and determined opposition from people who are deriving satisfaction from the old day. Some of us will gain an appreciation for those people of past eras when climactic changes in the kingdom of God were taking place. Can you imagine how the Jews felt when Jesus told them that they had to eat his flesh and drink his blood in order to live? They had been taught from childhood that it was an abomination to the Lord for people to drink blood. Can you imagine how Paul felt when the Holy Spirit impressed him that circumcision no longer was a part of God's covenant with man? Or how other Jews felt when they heard Paul teach? Like all other peoples of past time, we thought it would never happen to us. But the transition from day 5, the day of life, to day 6, the day of fulfillment, is beginning now. The kingdom of God is at hand. In order to keep from making shipwreck during a time of transition, we must be careful to stay very close to the written word of God, the Holy Scriptures. Perhaps the first concept that we need to establish from the Scriptures is the change in divine working which is ahead. The work of the two witnesses who announced the day of fulfillment will be different from the type of gospel ministry to which we are accustomed. The work of Christ and the saints during the coming kingdom age will include rulership over the earth, quite a different situation from the church age, in which the Christian people have been ruled over by persons who are filled with the Spirit of the God of this world, rather than with God's Holy Spirit. We understand from the Scriptures that enormous radical changes are coming to the earth in the near future. The two witnesses who usher in the day of fulfillment are described in the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation. We notice immediately that although these witnesses perform their work before Christ returns from heaven, their testimony is unlike anything we have seen during the church age. Yet, they still are in the church age because the Lord has not returned. Some have speculated that the two witnesses are two men who have been raised from the dead, men who lived under the old covenant, such as Moses and Aaron, or possibly the return from heaven of Enoch and Elijah. But as we have studied the relationship of God's witnesses to the days which they heralded, we can understand that it is quite unlikely that God would return to old covenant saints in order to provide an example of the coming millennium and the source out from which the millennium will flow. The two witnesses are lampstands, and lampstands, in the book of Revelation, are the Christian churches. Jesus prophesied that the gospel of the kingdom would be preached to all the nations, and then the end would come. After the witness of the coming kingdom has gone to every nation, the end of the present age is here. Does it seem probable that the Lord Jesus would remove his church, the light of the world, from its role of witnessing of the coming kingdom of God and bring back two saints from the Old Covenant to perform this momentous and critical task? Is the church, the body of Christ, such a wretched failure, such a blemished bride, that Jesus Christ has to return to a lesser covenant in order to produce the witnesses of his coming? No doubt the two witnesses of the 11th chapter of Revelation are the double portion of the Spirit of God poured out upon the saints so that the whole earth can be prepared for the coming of the King. The point is, the Scripture teaches that a new kind of witnessing will appear in the earth before the Lord Jesus Christ returns from heaven. This testimony will affect all the nations of the earth, warning them of the overthrow of all secular government and the establishing of Christ's saints in all positions of authority. Every individual who believes and is baptized will be saved from God's wrath, but the rebellious and unbelieving will be judged in that day. The coming day is one of thick darkness and of wrath. The present weak, people-pleasing witness, which is being conducted today, is a very poor, a very obscured testimony of the day of the Lord, which is upon the horizon. The new testimony is clothed in the sackcloth of repentance, a refreshing contrast to the current pretty, people-pleasing gospel message of our time. The flames of divine judgment roar out of the mouths of the witnesses and consume their enemies. They command droughts and turn waters to blood. They smite the whole earth with plague after plague until the world is reeling in these chaotic conditions. Can you see that this testimony differs from that of the church age, and that it is characteristic of the millennial rule of Jesus Christ, the smiting of the nations with the rod of iron? These two prophets will torment the people who dwell on the earth. Does the Scripture, the written Word of God, teach us that there is coming a new kind of witness of the coming kingdom of God before Jesus returns to set up his kingdom? Indeed it does, very clearly. This type of destructive witness, which we can observe in the flood of Noah, the plagues of Egypt, the testimony of Elijah and Elisha to very strong forerunners of the end-time witness, Ananias and Sapphira and Elymas, has been suspended during the day of life, but it will return to the earth as a warning of the wrath of God, which will be poured out in conjunction with the fiery descent from heaven of the Lord Jesus and his saints. The sixth day, the day of fulfillment, the era which we are approaching in the present hour, will be the greatest change which mankind has had to undergo as yet. It will be a giant step toward the rest of God, which is the seventh and last day. Therefore, the two witnesses of the day of fulfillment will be the most powerful light ever seen upon the earth. They will show forth the same works as Jesus, and greater works, just as the Lord prophesied to us, John 14, verse 12. They will perform both healing and destruction, just as did Elijah and Elisha. As we have stated, the two witnesses of the day of fulfillment are described in the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is the section of the New Testament which describes the events leading up to the ushering in of the millennium, the day of the Lord, the day of the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. The two witnesses are Christ and his body, his saints. We notice that the two witnesses are two olive trees, speaking of the fact that there is a double portion of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We notice also that the two witnesses are lampstands. Now, the golden lampstand of the tabernacle of the congregation always has been regarded by scholars as being a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. The lampstand is Christ. The fourth chapter of the book of Zechariah reveals that there was, at the time of Zechariah, one lampstand, two olive trees, but one lampstand. That is because the second lampstand had not been created as yet. However, during the church age, the second lampstand, which is the body of Christ, has been created. Thus we see two olive trees, the number two, speaking of the power of the Holy Spirit to bear witness, In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. But in addition to the two olive trees of Zechariah chapter 4, there now are two lampstands. Lampstands are solid gold. They can never refer symbolically to human beings. Wood is used in the scriptures as a type of humanity, while gold is a type of divinity. The lampstand of the tabernacle of the congregation was pure gold beaten into shape. In Revelation chapter 11, we behold two lampstands. As we understand the symbolism, these two lampstands portray Christ and the body of Christ, that which is being built up to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, as we find in the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians. Christ working in and with his body will herald the sixth creative day, the day of fulfillment. The ministry of the two witnesses represents a change which takes place in the divine testimony before Christ returns to earth. The day of life of the gospel work of bringing eternal life to those who believe still will be continuing. There will be, as we have noticed before, a period of overlap. The herald of the millennium will be upon the earth concurrently with the traditional ministry of the churches of Christ. Into the midst of the ministries and gifts of the body of Christ will be thrust an earth-shaking testimony of the coming of the kingdom of God, a testimony clothed in the sackcloth of repentance, tormenting the earth with plagues. To speak figuratively, John the Baptist and Jesus Christ once again will be upon the earth at the same time. This will take place before Jesus Christ appears in the clouds of heaven with his saints and the elect angels. The two witnesses, which are Christ and his conquering saints bearing testimony under a double anointing of the Holy Spirit, will incorporate all of the aspects of the previous witnesses. As was true of Adam and Eve, one of the two witnesses will be created from the other. Eve was created from Adam. The body of Christ is being fashioned from Jesus Christ's own body and blood. As was true of Abraham and Sarah, the witness will come forth from the true wife who waits upon the promise of God. It will not be the work of man's ambitions. As was true of Moses and Aaron, the two witnesses will be brothers. We are being created the brothers of Jesus Christ. Romans 8, verse 29. As was true of the Father and the Son, Christ will be in the body. There will be the two witnesses, Christ and his body, but the two will be one, just as the Father and Christ are one. John 17, verses 21 through 23. As was true of the Holy Spirit and the apostles, the two witnesses will be formed from God and God-filled people. As will be true of the Father and his tabernacle, the two witnesses who will appear toward the end of the millennium and herald the day of rest. The two witnesses of the 11th chapter of Revelation will be Christ and his tabernacle, the body of Christ. And as was true of Joshua and Caleb, the two witnesses that bring in the day of fulfillment will go into the land of promise before the remainder of Israel, and will bring back the fruit of the coming kingdom age for Israel to behold, while the Lord's people still are in the wilderness of this world. As was true of Elijah and Elisha, the two witnesses will be a portion and a double portion of the Spirit of God manifested among men. Like Elijah and Elisha, the two witnesses will be a remnant separated from Israel by their totally godly lives, healing and destroying by the word of the Lord, as the Holy Spirit bears witness of the person and will of the Lord God of heaven. The two witnesses that usher in the day of fulfillment are the two olive trees, sons of oil, which stand before the God of the earth. They are two lampstands. Christ is the light of the world, but now that he has gone into heaven, the saints are the light of the world. But that is because Christ, the only light of the world, is being formed within us. The night is at hand when no man can work. The day, during which people can perform the work of the gospel, has just about concluded. The testimony of the two witnesses is not the work of people. It is entirely supernatural. It is the testimony of God in Christ in the church. The testimony which is at hand will prepare the whole world as well as the Lord's people, for the glorious coming of Jesus Christ in the clouds of heaven. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Matthew 24, verse 14. The purpose of the ministries of the body of Christ is the building up of the saints into the head, Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 4. But the purpose of the end-time witness of Jesus Christ and his body is that the nations might be prepared for the coming of Jesus Christ from heaven to rule over the earth. The testimony of Christ in the church is for a witness unto all nations. The purpose of the Christian ministry, as we know it, is the giving of eternal life to those whom the Father has chosen to bring to Jesus Christ, also to build up in the most holy faith the members of the body of Christ. But the purpose of the two witnesses of the 11th chapter of Revelation, the ministry of sackcloth and plagues, is the bearing to all of the nations of the earth a tremendously powerful and effective witness of the immediate coming of the kingdom of God to the earth. There are many Old Testament passages which refer to the events surrounding the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to the earth. We cannot be too specific concerning the time scheduling of these climactic spiritual happenings, because the prophets do not speak in clearly outlined sequences. The prophets tend to describe a vast tapestry which they behold in the Spirit, without strict reference to the precise order of the events. Therefore, we have to limit ourselves to the general nature of the day of fulfillment and of the powerful testimony which will usher in the day of fulfillment. We think that it is clear in the Scriptures that before he returns in the clouds with the saints and holy angels, the Lord Jesus will reveal through the Christian church that which soon will be hurtling earthward in unrelenting power from heaven. The two witnesses, who are Jesus Christ and his conquering saints, as we understand it, will embody in themselves all that the coming millennium will be. Also, the two witnesses will be the matrix, the source, out from which the millennium will proceed. The true nature of the millennium is entering now into the disciples as a day star, heralding the great worldwide day of the Lord which is to follow. It is not that we have resurrected bodies in the present hour, or that the curse has been lifted from the earth. These will come with the return of the Lord. But the essence of the millennium is the exalting of the Lord Jesus Christ to supreme lordship, and that can and must take place in the disciples today. As we allow the Holy Spirit to dethrone King Self and place Jesus Christ upon the throne of our heart, the day of the Lord begins in us. The millennium, the sixth day of fulfillment, is beginning in us during this darkest hour of earth's history. 2 Peter 1, verse 19. If we will allow Christ to become Lord within us, then he will shine through us in the oppressive era which even now has come upon the world. Let us examine some of the passages of Scripture upon which we base our hope. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion, and utter his voice from Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people, and the strength of the children of Israel. Joel 3, verse 16. Now, when will the Lord roar out of Zion? When will God speak with such power out of his people? It is this powerful manifestation of Christ in his saints which characterizes the millennial kingdom and also the two witnesses who will bring in the kingdom. Notice the context. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. Joel 3, verse 15. We know that the darkening of the sun and the moon is the sign of the Lord's return to earth. Jesus prophesied that this sign would take place after the great tribulation, but before he returns to gather together his elect. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Matthew 24, verses 29 and 30. It appears that God will roar out of Zion before the Lord Jesus returns from heaven to sit upon the throne of David in Jerusalem. Notice also Isaiah. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. Isaiah 42, verse 13. And in chapter 60 of Isaiah, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Isaiah 60, verse 2. There is no doubt that these passages are referring to the millennial kingdom of God, but we have pointed out that each new day is preceded by two witnesses, out of whom flows the new day, and who embody in themselves the characteristics of the new day. When will the Lord arise upon his people and reveal his glory upon them? This will take place during the darkest hour of earth's history. It is clear that the glory of Jesus Christ will be given to his people in a time of exceedingly great spiritual oppression. Perhaps the first giving of this glory will come before the return of the Lord. The return of the Lord includes the resurrection of the bodies of his saints and a carrying of the faithful from the surface of the earth up into the clouds. But what we behold in Isaiah 60, verse 2, is a coming of glory upon the church in an hour of great darkness. And the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many people, as a lion among the beasts of the forest, as a young lion among the flocks of sheep, who, if he go through, both treadeth down and teareth in pieces, and none can deliver. Micah 5, verse 8. Micah prophesies the nature of kingdom age ministry. It is quite different from current gospel ministry. Our point is that the kingdom age ministry will begin before the Lord Jesus returns, that it will attain exceedingly great power and revelation, that it will be overcome for a brief season by Antichrist under the precise control of the Lord Jesus, and that it then will be resurrected to greet the visible coming of Jesus Christ from heaven, and through his glory will bring in the kingdom age, the thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ and his saints, known as the millennium. When Revelation chapter 11 speaks of the beast overcoming and killing the two witnesses, it does not mean that Jesus Christ is killed, or that the saints are separated from Christ. Christ cannot be overcome, and the members of his body cannot be separated from him. No power in the heavens or upon the earth can accomplish that. Rather, what is being portrayed here in symbolic form is that the testimony, the witness, is overcome for a season according to the will of Christ. That which is hindering the full revelation of Antichrist, as Paul teaches us in the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians, is removed from his path. God allows the saints to be forced out of the cities of the earth so that they must hide in the wilderness areas until the coming of the Lord. But when sin has attained maturity, the Spirit of life from God will enter into the saints. At that time, their glory will be revealed, and God will roar through them, according to Joel and Isaiah. The saints will be caught up to heaven in a cloud in the presence of their enemies in preparation for their descent with Jesus in the attack of Armageddon. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign for ever and ever. Revelation 11, verse 15. Perhaps at this point we could profit from a careful consideration of a specific concept which is set forth in the seventh chapter of the book of Daniel. This specific concept will provide scriptural support for our assertion that the ministry of the two witnesses and the work of God during the day of fulfillment will come through Jesus Christ and his saints. There are two witnesses, just as the Father and the Son are two witnesses. But we behold the Father and the Son as one witness, and it appears likely that the world will behold the kingdom witness as one witness. John 17, verses 21 through 23. Notice carefully. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Daniel 7, verse 13. Now, our question is this. Who is the one like the Son of Man? Our expected answer is, the one like the Son of Man is our Lord, Jesus Christ, the Son of God and Son of Man. Most assuredly, this is the correct answer. Jesus Christ, and none other, is our lawful sovereign. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Daniel 7, verse 14. So far, so good. But observe the following. I, Daniel, came near unto one of them that stood by, and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me, and made me know the interpretation of the things. Daniel 7, verse 16. Well, the answer should have been, Messiah will come and sit upon the throne of David. But that was not the answer. The same answer was given three times. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Daniel 7, 18. Until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Daniel 7, 22. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Daniel 7, verse 27. It stands clearly in the Scripture that the one like the Son of Man is the saints of the Most High. But we know that Jesus Christ is the King of the kingdom of God. There is no doubt in our mind that the Lord Jesus is the true and only King, and that the Father has chosen him to inherit all things. But it is true also that the body of Christ will be like him. Thus, there will be two witnesses who will be viewed as one manifestation of the glory of God. The Father and the Son are two, and yet one. The two witnesses of the day of fulfillment will be two, and yet one. We would suggest that the two olive trees, the two lampstands, the two sons of oil, are Jesus Christ and his counterpart, his bride. As in the case of Adam and Eve, they are two and yet one. Upon them will rest the portion and the double portion of the Spirit of God. Perhaps we should keep in mind that there will be a period of time during which the more traditional ministry of the church is continuing, and also the kingdom witness is coming into view. Since both of these ministries will proceed from the same group of people, the Lord's saints, we do not expect to see an abrupt transition, at which time the Lord's preachers suddenly change from their work of reaching the lost and building up the body of Christ over into a revelation to the world of the power of the age which is coming. Rather, we would expect to see the members of the body of Christ, as they continue to pray and seek the Lord in the present hour, begin to show forth in themselves evidences of the kingdom witness, while at the same time they continue their customary ministries. It is God's way to prepare us very carefully for new steps in Him. It may be noticed that some of the new choruses which we are singing speak of the new day, that it now is time for the taking of the kingdom of God. Also, if we stop to think about it, the gospel message always has contained in itself a witness to the world of the coming of the kingdom of God. This was true especially during the ministry of Jesus, as he sent forth his disciples to heal the sick, raise the dead, and proclaim the coming of the kingdom. The apostles were a witness to the world of their day, of the power of the coming kingdom age, and thus it has continued to be true throughout the 2,000 years of the history of the Christian church. What has not been emphasized, however, is the dimension of judgment, which we behold in the two witnesses of the 11th chapter of Revelation. No doubt this dimension is added to the proclaiming of the gospel, because the coming of the kingdom of God will be accompanied by the destroying of all sinners and their sin out of the earth. In order to be a true witness of the coming of the kingdom of God, the remnant will be empowered to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. It may prove to be true during the millennium, as it has been to this point, that the preceding days will continue to develop according to the wisdom and power of the original creative Word of God. If that is the case, the following will be true during the millennium, the day of fulfillment. This study is continued on the next tape.